All right, today we're going to look at the reliability of God's Word. In Proverbs 3:5, we know what it says. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. But the Amplified says, trust and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Right? And when we trust in the Lord, it means we're trusting in His Word. Right? And God's Word's reliable. We're going to see that because God's reliable. And in 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is what God breathes, right? So it comes from the heart of God, out of the mouth of God. So if you really think about it, when you read that and you read the Scripture, just picture God speaking it out of His mouth, not just reading the words. It makes a real big impact that way. It's coming from God, and we'll see that here. So the word reliable, there's synonyms there for dependable, trustworthy, consistent, stable, steadfast, unfailing. So when a person's reliable, he's worthy of your trust, right? Because it's trustworthy, right? And also a person who's reliable keeps their promises. And we all heard that in the manifestations, we heard in prayers, God's unfailing, keeping His promises. So we're going to see God's Word is reliable, and we're going to start in Genesis, which sets the stage for the God-breathed Word. Because these are the first words spoken that are recorded, first spoken words recorded in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, but we'll start with the context. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was, or became, should be became, that word, without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So there was a situation that was, you know, void. You know, the earth became without form and void, and there was darkness upon the face. So here's the first words that God spoke, and God said. So when He said, it means He spoke words out of His mouth. Okay? Let there be light, and there was light. And then we see the rest of this chapter, if you read it, and we're going to read some of it, but see all the ands here? So it's polysyndeton, it's a figure of speech. It's many ands. So it basically identifies this phrase, and God, all the acts of God, specific, and God said, and God did, and God made, and God. But you stop and think about each thing that God did. That's the emphasis. Then it ends with a lot of these sections, and God said, and then it says, it was so. So it was so, I looked this up, so it was so, it's another figure of speech. That phrase preceded by what God says basically emphasizes the reliability and the power of God's Word, proving what God says happens. So you got to just think about it. Whatever God says, happen. It says, so we're going to look at a couple of these, not read every one, but let's go to verse 6. Well, let's go to, I'm sorry, verse 4. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God, it's a separate acts of God, He did this, and now He did this. And He called the light day, the darkness He called night, and the evening, and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And then God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above. And it was so. Right? And then you have to go down, verse 9. And God said, let the waters be gathered under heaven. Under heaven be gathered unto the one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So each emphasis, it was God said, and it was so. We just got to think about whatever God said is so. And then these things are still here, right? You still have trees out here, right? We still have a sun coming up. There's a moon. Little rabbits running around. There's chickens out there. Vegetation. So every time you see that, God spoke it, and it's still here. Remember, we always heard what God says is, was, is, and will be. Because God said it, and it is so. Now, in the future, we're going to see we're going to be a new body, so, but it's going to be so. Mm-hmm. But so we can believe it now, and we can hope and expect it now. All right? So I won't belabor that. So whatever God says is so. That's really the whole teaching. Then you can go home. And nah, but here's some. We're going to see more things in here. Okay, so let's look at Psalm 33. It's sort of Psalm 33 sort of summarizes like this. But remember, figures of speech are for emphasis, right? So when God emphasized something in his word, we need to emphasize it in our minds and our hearts. Not just read over and say, oh, in the morning, you know, this happened. So we have to. So for the word of the Lord, verse 4 in Psalm 33. The word Lord is right. That's pretty straightforward. And all his works are done in truth. So the truth, or it's reality. It's the reality. God's reality is true. Okay, look at verse 6. By what? The word of the Lord again. Were the heavens made and all the hosts how? By the breath of his mouth. So he's always emphasizing the word coming from God's mouth. You got to think of it that way. Okay, then look at verse 9. For he spake, what did he speak? He spoke words and it was done. And it was really, or it became. And he commanded and it stood fast. So the emphasis is whatever God says is. See, and then he's saying it different ways. But it's all words coming out of his mouth. Just think about it. The God-breathed word, all scripture, so from Genesis to Revelation, is God-breathed from the mouth of God. And we know people were inspired to write it, but it's the source is God. Okay? So we're going to look at some characteristics of God. Look at Numbers 23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, right? Very familiar verse here. But just really emphasizes a good characteristic of God and his word. 23:19. You're there before me here. Okay. God is not a man that he should lie. So God does not lie, we're going to see here. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Now, here is the figure of speech. It's a rhetorical question. Hath he said it? Will we not do it? That's, you know, yes, yes. A resounding yes, he will do it. Hath he spoken? Shall we not make it good? Yes. So when we read that, we say that in our heart. He shall make it good. He shall do what he says. Like it jives with everything else in Genesis, right? Now, if God does not lie, and actually these questions emphasize God's faithful to carry out what he said, right? So we have to see what it's telling us. He's faithful to carry out. He says he's not a man that he should lie, then it says it's impossible for him to lie. We're not going to turn there in Hebrews 6:18, okay? It says it's impossible for God to lie. So if he doesn't, it's impossible. And then in Titus, you don't have to go there. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So he can't lie. It's impossible to lie. He doesn't lie. Just get the point, right? So God's truth. But we have to remember that when we read about something in our situation, will we supply all my need? Would be lying or is it telling the truth? Well, how we receive it, right? So that's how we take this in, right? It's not just to know, like, oh, we know this, okay? And it does not change. Malachi, right, says, I am the Lord, I change not, right? And then in Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So there's no variableness or shadow of turning, it says. So he doesn't change, he doesn't lie. And God is faithful. Look at Deuteronomy 7. It's another characteristic. 7:9 of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 9. Now it says something. The first word, know. Right? Know something here. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. right? And now it basically defines what faithful is. He keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So we're part of the 1,000 generations. It's the figure of speech. It goes on and on and on. He still doesn't. He's still faithful today. He still keeps his word. And we have a new covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed his blood, right? So in the new covenant, all that's true and it's right. And he keeps it to those who believe, right? I mean, it's there to believe, to receive. Look at Isaiah 55. Chapter 55 and verse 11. So here's another verse. So shall what? His word, my word be that go forth out of his mouth. We've already seen in a lot of scriptures, the words God breathed, the word that comes out of his mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It shall not return void. Empty, without purpose, without effect. What? Then it says, but. In contrast, it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. So it shall accomplish. It gets things done. Basically, it emphasizes, again, the power and reliability of God's word. What he says will make things happen and will get done. Now, when we say what he says, the same thing we can expect. Right. That's why the whole thing, putting our word in his mouth, we'll get to that. Look at Joshua while we're around the corner here. Back a couple pages. Joshua 1. Kings. That's it. Chronicles. I got the wrong going two ways. I'm way back. Deuteronomy. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. That's it. There we go. It's after Deuteronomy. Steering you wrong, right? Is that right? Chapter 1, verse 5. Now, do you remember, this is part of the character. God is faithful in some of his characteristics. Chapter 1, verse 5 says, now Joshua's, God's talking to Joshua after Moses passed, died. It says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of our life, of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. It's a promise, right? I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Okay, now look at Joshua 23. This is the end of Joshua's life. Let's see what happens. Maybe it's God batting 900,000. Let's see. Joshua 23:14. Yeah, there it is. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. He's going to be passing away here. And you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass, and not one thing has failed. Is there something emphasized here? Really, not one thing has failed. All right? Everything God says comes to pass. He will never leave us nor forsake us, right? As we relate this to us. He will not fail us. And then Romans, you don't have to turn there, but remember, I'll just read this. Abraham, he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, was strong in believing, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded what God promised he was able to perform, right? So God's faithful. God does not fail to fulfill his promises. So we got to, he doesn't lie, he doesn't change, and he doesn't fail to fulfill his promises. And look at John 6:63. So now we're going to see the characteristics of God's word. And God, it says God's word is life. Right, so we know in Hebrews 4:12 it says his word is alive and quick and powerful, right? Which means alive and powerful means ability to achieve results. If you look at the word, it's ergos, I believe the word is. So it has the ability to achieve results. It's not just words. And all this power and life is contained in the Word of God. And it's released upon believing. Okay, remember that. So that's the key here. It's not just words. It's, they're dormant until it's they're believed. Right? So 663, watch here. Jesus said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth or maketh alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, look at, and we're getting here pretty good here. Like 18 more pages here. And Matthew 4:4, you don't have to turn here, but turn to John 5:24. We know what Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And every word proceeds from where? The mouth of God, and it contains the life of God. And we're to live by that and have God's experience God's life. That's how we do it, experience it. So 5:24, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth what? My word, and what? Believes on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from what? Death unto life. See, God's word imparts life. It gives life. 1 Peter 1:23. Just thought this one. Okay, we got Hebrews, right? James, and we got Peter. Peter 1:23. And we saw God's word is life, imparts life. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Then it says, how? By the word of God. See, born again, when we believe, people are born again by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It doesn't change. So if you hear it tomorrow, you could be born again tomorrow if you're not born again, or the next day. And we were born again 50 years ago when we first heard the word, or whatever it was. It doesn't change. What changes is our receptivity to that word. All right. But we're born again by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And look at verse 25. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. He's telling you what in this New Testament here, by the gospel. And the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ, it says, it's the power of God unto salvation or deliverance to everyone who does what? Believes. And then later on it says, the just shall live by faith or believing, just like by the words of God, right? So look at John 5. So we see Jesus totally relied on God's word. So he's our example, right? Now, we don't have to go through what he went through. We didn't have to face what he went through. And he still he totally relied. He didn't get swayed and getting pulled off. Look at John 5:30. Yeah, where is it? Okay. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. So where's the will of the Father? The Word of God is the will of God, right? So he seeks the Word of God and the will of the Father in situations and circumstances. And he had to know the will of God in the beginning, all the Old Testament, like he knew it very well, of course. He quoted it a lot of times. Look at John 8:28. Jesus totally relied upon God's word, upon God and his word, basically. 8:28 says, then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Right? He taught them what? Through the word. And he says every word that comes out of his mouth, right? Or life, right? And look at the next verse. And he that sent me is with me, for the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Always means at all times. always, not like just in this circumstance, all times. And he always does the things that please him. Without believing, it's impossible to please God. So we know we believed God's word. He heard God's word, and he spoke God's word. Does it sound familiar that we should be doing? And we're going to look at that. So, now God reveals his will to individuals, but we must respond by believing and acting on his word. And that's the response. So here's relying on the God-breathed word, taking God at his word. I'm just going to speak on these. It says in James, you know, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, but be what? Doers and not hearers only, right? The doers of the word. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians. We're winding down here, so hang in there. 1 Corinthians 5, 2, 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. Says that your believing should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the power of God is in the word of God. It's when we believe. See, it says your believing should stand in the power of God. And his power of God is reflected in his word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. So how do we receive this? It tells us here. Colossians. Got too many pages here. This thin page. 2:13. We all know this one, but think about it. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word which you heard, so you have the faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of us, you received it not as the word of men, see, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The reliable word of God works in you that believes all the time, 100% of the time. So now we're going to summarize this. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:9. I should have told you to keep your finger in that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. We just got to remember that. Faithful, reliable, trustworthy, consistent, dependable. See, all those words, you can rely on them. So our response to God's word, look at Proverbs 4. 4:13. Bless you, bless you. So it tells, and it's talking about wisdom, but it's the word of God it's talking about here, okay? So take fast hold of instruction. Remember in 2 Timothy 3:16, God's word is God-breathed, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, which is what? Instruction. So we take fast hold of instruction. Take fast hold, let her not go, keep her, for she is what? Thy life. And the Amplified, I'll read that. Take hold of instruction. Actively seek it. Grip it firmly. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Sometimes that Amplified, it's good. It really puts those words in between in there. So it says, actively seek it, right? And grip it firm once you find it, and lay hold and guard it. And then look at verse 20. It basically tells you how to do this. My son, attend to my words. So we got to hear it. Incline thy ear, right, that I sang. Don't let them depart from my eyes. Keep them in front of you. Picture them. When you see a verse, just picture it. Picture God speaking it to you. Keep them in the midst of our heart, for they are what? Life. To those that find them in health or healing or medicine, that word is again for health, to all your flesh. Okay? And we're going to close in Hebrews 10:23 here. So we actively seek the word and we grip it, hold it. When we find it, hold it. Because it's, and it tells you more in Proverbs how it's more valuable than rubies and gold and everything else. So Hebrews 10:23. 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession, the word is confession, of our faith without wavering. Why? For he's faithful that promised. Here's another good amplified translation. Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. That sort of sums it up. So we seize and hold God's word tightly by we meditate on his word, we speak it, we act on it. And I just noted here, hold fast to God's word, stay fully persuaded that God will do exactly what he said he would do. Amen?